Hey, in this episode of the Dealer Playbook podcast, sitting down with my pal Raheem Bhamani. He's the general manager here at Motivation Trucks in Georgia. Stay tuned.
The car business is rapidly changing and modern car dealers are meeting the demand. I'm Michael Cirillo, and together we're going to explore what it takes to create a thriving dealership and life in the retail automotive industry. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with subject matter experts that are designed to help you grow. This is the Dealer Playbook.
All right, bro. Thanks for joining me on the Dealer Playbook.
My heart is racing. Thank you for having me here. Feels like I just got asked to prom for the first time.
Oh, man. I didn't even bring a corsage or a whatever they call those things.
It's okay, man.
So, largest showroom in the Southeast. Indoor showroom in the Southeast. And this place is massive. Like, you got golf carts in here. And I showed up yesterday and you put me in the golf cart and you drove me around the facility. How big is this place?
So, this place is sitting on 4 acres. All indoors, all heated and cooled.
Yeah, which is nuts, because then you have no excuse for why people, like, you never have to shovel snow off of hoods of cars.
Let me tell you one thing that we didn't even expect was the detail bill is so low. We only have to clean vehicles once, like, and that's something that I never thought about.
Led to the idea of an indoor showroom.
So it was a couple different things. One of them was, you know, when Earl and I, we thought, like, what is next for Motivation? We always, he's like the visionary, and he always had this idea of like, yo, everything is going to be under one roof and everybody is going to come indoors and all the vehicles are going to be inside. And like, he kind of like painted this picture to me. And for me, it came from like, okay, I was a salesperson at the time, and our busiest days, because we mostly sold work trucks, were the days that had bad weather. It was raining, it was snowing, it was too cold outside, whatever those things were. And I remember going outside at 10 a.m. for my first appointment and then coming back in totally drenched and thinking like, either I got to sit wet all day at my desk or I got to go back home and change.
Right.
And I was just like, okay, that makes total sense, because our busiest days are the bad weather days, and we'll be able to give all of our clients just a better, comfortable experience all indoors.
How did you get into the car business?
So I always met some friends long time ago, and they were all super into cars. And I started my career in the car business washing cars, and it just became something that I was good at. And then I kind of just, it just was something that worked, and I just stuck with that. So it was always in a dealership. It was either cleaning cars or like lube tech or something like that. It was always something in the back of the house. That's like, it just seemed like it didn't require a lot, knowing a lot. It just required like will and work, right. Work ethic.
Yeah.
That was like my strong points.
Bring me into the journey, because I mean, like, there's a lot of people in this industry that think, oh, there's no upward mobility, but you start as a detailer and now here you are the general manager of this operation. What are, like, I want to kind of get into the mindsets and behaviors that you're aware of in yourself that led you from there to here?
So I think definitely, you know, I'm big on thinking like, you know, it is all under your control. I will say there is just a small portion of like magic dust involved. My magic dust was having the opportunity. But other than that, like, you know, because in the car business, it was dead end for me.
Yeah.
For, I would say at least six-ish years, you know, don't quote me on that, but 6-ish years, it was dead end.
Right.
It was only washing cars. It was not making more than 10 or 12 bucks an hour, or living off of tips in a car wash or lube tech at 12 bucks an hour. It was always dead end, right? And the only way of growth, what seemed like, was that exact field. So like, if it was in detail, it was becoming the head detailer, or maybe if I was really feeling something that day, the detail manager. If it was lube tech, the goal was, you know, maybe master tech or something like that. You know, I never really thought about it could be on this side of the dealership, and definitely not a general manager. I think have a concept of that when I got into the car business. But a couple things, like if I were to pinpoint a couple things that helped me get here that somebody else could kind of cheat off my test from, would be I really just did the best that I could at that specific job. That was the first thing that helped somebody notice me. I feel like, you know, to have an opportunity, I feel like it's important to get noticed by somebody,
right?
Whether it's a client, whether it's your direct manager, the owner, or whatever the case was. And for me, especially like in my detailing career at Motivation, it was that I was the best detailer. And it's crazy because I'll still wear that as a badge.
Right.
You know, it was something that I felt like I became really good at. And I wanted to make sure when a client opened the door of that vehicle, they felt that it was because of me that they're having this amazing impression of how clean this vehicle is.
Is that something that's baked into your DNA, or is that teachable, that desire to, you know, want to go above and beyond?
I think it's definitely teachable because I didn't have it for so long, right? That part of me really only started existing, you know, when I was 21, 22. And it came from so many other places, right? It came from knowing that I was meant for more, knowing that I could do more, and knowing that there is more just out there to be had, and then kind of exposing myself to what else is out there, reading different books, seeing other people succeed and things like that. And the vehicle that I saw that I could do right now was just becoming the best I could at my job,
right?
Which was washing cars and cleaning cars.
So you go from detailing cars to sales?
No. So, you know, I'm the detailer and I'm working for Earl at Motivation. And before Motivation was retail sales establishment, it was wholesale, kind of like a wholesale to dealers and a very small retail to the public. And it was called Wholesale to the Public.
Right.
And I just found one problem that I could solve. And it was like that I would see Earl would be outside with the dealer that was looking to buy vehicles from us. And they would say, hey, like this one, I like that one. They would talk about a couple of the vehicles, but then they would have to go inside to revisit them. And then so he could see how much he had in them and see where he could price them at and things like that. But everything outside was very vague until they could go back inside to his computer. It was a small, very small knit family type environment. We had 5-6 people working there, including myself and Earl. And I went to our admin office manager, Karen, and I was like, How can one get a list of all the vehicles we have and how much we have in them?
Sure.
And she's like, oh, that's super easy. Print it for me. Great. So I have this list now. And all I did was copy this. This is when I first found out about Google Docs.
Yeah.
Right. That's super power for me now. And all I did was take that list, copied it into a Google Docs that was easier to read. And I gave that to Earl and I said, hey, I really think this is going to help you when the dealers come. And it was like super nerve-wracking because this is big or small, the owner of the company I work at. But he just made it so easy for me to want to help him.
Yeah.
And there was no ego involved that
right.
I truly felt like this person is helping me. I really want to help this person. And I felt just super strong that this small piece of paper was going to help this person.
Yeah.
And I gave it to him and he looked at it and he gave it back to me and he said, why don't you do it? And so I went from detailer to kind of like starting our wholesale organization. It was already a wholesale establishment, but it just organizing how wholesale worked.
Wow. You know, it takes vulnerability and foresight for a leader to see something in someone, but then to also say, hey, run with it. You know, how do you do that now as a general manager where, you know, you've got dozens of people now working in the organization and a variety of different skill sets from sales and management to, you know, technicians and things of that nature. How do you set the stage for them to be able to kind of have that same opportunity?
You know, you're 100% right. Just because like putting myself back in that situation, like if I was Earl with less of who I am now, I would have kept the list and been like, okay, me doing it myself is the best thing to do. And I appreciate this dude giving me the list. But like, as far as how I do that, I really had to learn, and I think I'm getting better at it every day. It's number
right.
one, trusting the fact that everybody is here is out of their own choice, right? They're not doing it for me. They're doing it for themselves. So if they've already made the choice to be here, the least I could do is trust them or give them that same opportunity to show me the better version of them or the best version of them.
Where does your passion come from in that? Like, because you are a passionate dude. I can feel it.
Yeah.
I see it. I hear it in your voice. I mean, like yesterday, you were coming up with scripts and things for your team and just like hearing you role play that something immediately came out of you. Where does that come from?
You know, it just feels like just like kind of like detailing. It was something that I became really good at. And then I, found passion in, okay, now how fast can I clean this car and how much cleaner can it actually get? Then when I was in sales, it was like, okay, based on this information, how can I show this person in front of me that I am the best person to do business with? I guess the passion just comes from like just knowing those, at least those two times and a few other times, if I just try becoming the best at that, or at least the best I can be at that, I'm going to win.
Right.
Right. Like it's just not worked for me before. So it just like, to me, it just makes sense. Like if you hit the on switch, the light is going to turn on. If I just try to do the best that I can, it's going to work, you know, and that's where I feel like I drive a lot of the passion from, is just knowing that it's worked before and it'll continue working if I just put the same algorithm in it.
Yeah. I see this a lot in people who tend to accelerate growth or achieve their definition of success, which is that there is this difference of opinion, which is most people show up to work or show up to life and say, I don't want to deal with problems. Those that succeed faster are like, this is why I get paid more, is because I solve problems, which implies that I must encounter problems. How do you view that?
Man, I'm like smiling because I feel that way. Like, so when I was my journey as a salesperson, I noticed that my worst month was the month that I stopped making videos and I stopped making calls. I just kind of relied on text. And then I thought back to, why am I not making videos? Why am I not doing the calls when I know that works? And I forgot if it was Grant or I forgot who said it, but it just stuck to me. Like it just got embedded in my mind. Do the things I'm fearful of every single day.
Right.
And then I made it a must do that every single day. I have to chase after something that I'm fearful of, like real life things that I'm fearful of. So like it became to me the customer who's upset, the employee that I have to let go, the things that I'm super scared to do, I have to do those. Not only I have to do those, but I have to do those first. And it kind of, I think, just lives with what you just said. Bigger the problem, the better I'm going to be after that. And I think the money is just a result, I guess, is one of the results. But yeah. I think the real result is like, I'm so much better now as a leader after I've learned to hire and fire. I'm so much better as a leader that now that I come back down to the level of the client who did business with one of my salespeople and really understanding their problem versus just from up top saying, oh, we just didn't make money on this deal. This is not somebody we can help, or whatever the thought process is, right?
Right.
I think if I just align myself eye level to the problem and then I solve it, I'm just so much better as a person. And then I happen to make a little bit more money doing it.
You know, so we're sitting here in your showroom and there's repositioning vehicles happening in the back. I hope that actually comes through a little bit in this podcast, because it just ties into a point that I want to make. You have passion about solving problems. Solving problems implies movement. There's movement happening in this building that when people come in here, you can't deny that there's an energy that comes from activity. There's actually an excitement I get knowing that a vehicle is being put in the slot right now, you know?
Yeah.
But the fact that when you're indoors, you can experience it in a different way than a lot. Cause like most of the time, where I'm going with this is like most of the time where you guys have landed on something unique here is that most of the activity happens outside.
Yeah.
And then most of the sitting and boring stuff happens inside. This is actually integrating both of those experiences into one experience. And it actually is like making me smile because I'm like, dude, this is dope. But you know, we talk a lot about innovation and how you can leverage things that already exist to create a new experience. And I really just, I see that that's what you guys have done here. How do you convey and make sure that your customers are feeling what you hope they feel by working with you?
You know, like the main things that is number one, I guess it starts with, what do I even want them to feel?
Sure. Right?
So like, I want them to just feel like the happiness that they've never felt before. And like, yeah, are you happy when you're buying a vehicle? Absolutely. But I want them to know more that like, hey, it's because who I did business with. And it's really hard to sit here and say that we're the underdog, right? After having this massive showroom. But I really want our clients to know that we're just like them. And we want their business with just love and appreciation. Like, yeah. It's not that I want to earn their business because I have a cooler vehicle or a better price or a better product, right? Because like, I just like, even when my team members talk to me about it, anybody can buy a warehouse, anybody can buy trucks,
right? And
people actually have you know, try to copy other people before, but you know, anybody can have better, they can just get all of that. Like if it just comes down to the product and things that can be bought, you can just go get that. And then I'm not special anymore. Right. But just feel like if I make you feel special, then I can be special. Right. If I just, nobody's going to care for their clients like me. Like nobody, like one thing like that separates us from everybody else, I believe, is we have one person and their entire job is to take every single negative call that comes in about their, if something happens with the vehicle.
Mm.
That being said,
you have a complaint department.
It's customer service department, right? I have a customer service department, but like that was one of the most integral pieces that we built this entire place off.
Yes, right.
And keep in mind, knowing we actually do a really good job. And sometimes that person's day consists of no calls, but that is their entire job. Because if and when a call does come, they're like ready. A superhuman, they're able to take that call.
I love it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's, you know, we're so little behind the scenes. We're at dinner last night, delicious steakhouse. And part of the conversation is talking about potential turmoil and turbulence on the horizon. And now I'm understanding why you asked for clarification. You were like, what do you mean by that? Like, what are you talking about, turbulence? And now what I'm understanding through this conversation, and what I hope that you listening or watching pick up on, is that if you are a problem solver, that doesn't worry you. You just go, oh, great, I get to stay in business. Whereas most people look at that and they go, holy crap, doom and gloom, storm clouds.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, but like I'm already, you know, I'm understanding more about you, where you're like, I don't see it as turbulence. I see it as, that's what I do for a living, is I solve problems. And so, you know, I say mazel tov, congratulations on that, because that is a great place to be. And it's no wonder why now you've gone from detailer to the general manager of a really, really awesome place. Let me ask you, how can those listening or watching get in touch with you, learn more about the business, and just connect with you?
I think it's super simple. You can actually just call my cell phone. The same one that my mom calls me on is 678-467-2471. I'm Raheem Bimani on Facebook. I'm The Truck Dealer on Instagram and Truck Dealer 404 on TikTok.
You are Raheem Cherry Bimani.
Yeah, I'm Raheem Cherry Bimani.
What's the cherry thing? I got to know.
All right, so my mom took me to the mall for the first time in my life, and I went with one of my friends and his mom. And it's the first time I'm going to a mall. It was Lincolnwood Mall in Chicago. And I guess she had just got her taxes back or something. We were there to spend some money, right? We were there on a mission. And I saw a red, I guess it's called a traction, right? You could zip it up, and red sweatpants.
Tearaway pants.
Tearaway pants, right? And it was like either like a Nike's, Adidas, and one, something like that. And I had, right before we walked into that store, my mom just bought me, I think it was a pair, I don't remember if it was Nike's or Adidas, but it was white shoes with a red logo. Just me being a kid, it's like, man, this would match perfect, right? Not thinking that this is, you know, I'm not going to have a million outfits. I might just have the one, right?
Right.
So I'm just putting this whole outfit together, and my mom being the awesome person she is, she's like, yeah, get it. Yeah, it's going to look great, right? I used to play, we called it table tennis, but ping pong, right?
Right.
Every Wednesday or Thursday or whatever it was, me and my friends would all meet up at this, like, it's called, I forgot what it was, social hall after prayers, and we would all bring a racket and we're ready to play some professional ping pong, right? And I show up and I'm wearing this red, bright red track suit with my white and red shoes, and we're, you know, at first people are like, yo, it looks awesome. You know, my real friends are like, yo, look fantastic, da da da. And we're in like a circle of like maybe six or seven people, and actually the same guy that was with me at the mall, right? He points to me and he's like, you look like a big old cherry. And we laughed about it. And I thought that was the end of that. Let me tell you, it got to the point where some people didn't know my real name was Raheem.
No.
That's just, and I identified it now, because it was easier for people to know I'm Cherry.
Cherry.
It was Raheem. Oh. It's funny. It was so funny that you brought that up, because I haven't heard somebody say that to me in 3 or 4 years.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Well, Cherry, man, thanks so much for joining me on the Dealer Playbook
Thank
podcast.
Thank you, Michael.
I'm Michael Cirillo, and you've been listening to the Dealer Playbook Podcast. If you haven't yet, please click the subscribe button wherever you're listening right now. Leave a rating or review and share it with a colleague. Thanks for listening.